Hey there, Legal Tea listeners. This is your host, Jenny Roselle. Today we have a cautionary tales type of episode, and on these episodes we normally talk about real life cases with real life clients that are things me or my office have actually worked on. Today though is going to be a bit different. If you look up the definition of a cautionary tale, the Cambridge Dictionary defines a cautionary tale as a story that gives a warning. And that is what we're going to talk about, a story that gives you all a warning. Unfortunately, it is inspired by a story that recently hit the news about a local to me financial advisor that allegedly misused client funds for personal gain. And sadly, this is not the first time this has happened. And in fact, I'm going to talk about a few cases where this has happened. So unfortunately, if you catch my drift, it won't be the last time either. Which is a reminder to all of us to do our due diligence when selecting the professionals in our lives to work with. Now, all three of these stories are based out of Indiana because, if you don't know, that is where I live. And since I hear so many of my own law firm's clients and friends tell me they listen, and they're mostly based out of Indiana, I figured I would use examples, local examples. But hear me loud and clear, this stuff happens all over the place. Another note before we get started, I hope this episode does not come across like I'm bashing the financial services profession. That is not my intention at all. And in fact, I personally have a financial advisor that I work with and I trust. As we all know, there are bad eggs in every single profession, including my legal profession. And maybe I should do an episode on attorneys going rogue. You can call me also Mr. Nice Guy, but through this episode, I am not going to use these advisors' personal names in these very real-life stories. I've chosen to use fake names, but keep the stories completely factual. Though, if you really care that much, all of these stories are on the internet, and if you put in 2 minutes of time, you'll be able to connect the dots and get names. I've just made a very intentional decision to not use their real names. Alrighty, here goes story number one. This story came out in 2008-2009-ish. Let's name this financial advisor Paul. According to ABC News and CNN, Paul owned three companies in the northern Indianapolis area. All three were financial services. Things really started, like with the stuff that we're going to be talking about today, really started in late 2008 when Paul personally and his financial service company were sued by another company because they were trying to, quote, get back $1.4 million for commissions that had paid to Paul for selling insurance and annuity policies, end quote. In January 2009, the Indiana Department of Insurance sought to revoke Paul's license and fine him as well. They, quote, cited a string of complaints from clients, some charging that he forged signatures and withdrew investment money, causing large surrender penalties, end quote. Oh, and another yikes. Maryland was even involved when another insurance company, based out of Maryland, of course, sued Paul for recovery of over $500,000, which related to commissions again. So there's a lot of stuff going on. This story took a wild turn because all these lawsuits, charges, and investigations were occurring. In January 2009, Paul, who had a plane, hopped in his plane, made a distress call, and bailed out of the plane. And there's a lot of things I'm skipping over through there, just for sake of time, but definitely encourage, if you are interested in this sort of stuff, check this story out. Minutes felt like hours, which felt like days, because people were wondering if Paul died or if he was on the run. Nope, it was later confirmed that the distress call was totally made up and false. And Paul essentially was on the run. A Hamilton County judge, when things were starting to get pieced together, ordered that he and his then wife's assets be frozen. Eventually, he was captured and then subsequently charged with multiple counts of unlawful acts. He ended up paying restitution, some money to the victims of his bad acts, as well as sentenced to a handful of years in prison. According to CNN, he got released from prison in 2015. Let's go to story number two. This story is more recent, last year in 2023, and let's name this financial advisor Polly. According to Fox 59, Polly transferred money out of a client's account in mid-2019. Prior to doing so, Polly had created an LLC and actually transferred the money into an account in the name of the LLC. Polly, after the money went into the LLC account, directly transferred it into her name personally to end up using those funds to pay her own personal debts off. Unfortunately, Polly did her bad act again, and again, and again. The Fox 59 article stated that she used the money also to do sports betting, and at a later time, she used it to pay towards a home equity line of credit called a HELOC. According to the court records, the client at issue believed Polly was using the money for investing in real estate. Now, do you even want to hear how much Polly sucked out of this account? According to Fox 59, over $4.5 million. Technically, $4,692,500. And to confirm, all of the money went to personal use and not to real estate investment. Unbelievable. This probably goes without being said, but he's no longer affiliated with the financial services company he was with. And because this was such a recent happening, things are really still getting settled. But of note, according to the Fox 59 article, Polly did plead guilty to wire fraud and also pled guilty of filing a false tax return. And there was also a plea agreement reached showing that Polly agreed to pay the entire $4.6 million in restitution to the client victim and an additional $1.7 million to the IRS. There's a possibility of imprisonment too, but the sentencing date has not been set. So definitely still stuff happening in this one. I think, if I remember correctly, the bad acts, so to speak, really didn't get discovered until, you know, possibly 2022, but definitely 2023. And for the most recent story, the one that really inspired me to talk about this stuff on today's episode, story number three. This story is brand new. So here we are in the beginning of 2024. I'm recording this at the end of January, but it will get released at the beginning of February. With this story, it's so new that many of the details of the story are still being sorted out, honestly. So I'll probably say the word allegedly a million times. But anyways, let's name this financial advisor Todd. According to WTHR news station, the Indiana Securities Division has issued something called a cease and desist order against Todd, his financial firm, and as well as one of Todd's underlings. Now, you may be wondering, what is a cease and desist order? Great question. According to Wikipedia, a cease and desist order is a warning of impending judicial enforcement. So in non-fancy terms, it's a governmental way of saying, we're about to come after you. And the Indiana Secretary of State, Diego Morales, also confirmed that legal action will be coming soon against Todd. So what happened, you ask? Well, primarily two things. First, according to WTHR, Todd took client funds to the tune of $2 million and bought a house in the name of one of Todd's businesses. So that was bad thing number one. And bad thing number two, also according to WTHR, is that he, technically speaking, is not a registered investment advisor in the state of Indiana, which is not okay because he himself, according to WTHR, is allegedly one of the people that clients met with and discussed with him to get their funds invested and structured. So because of this type, this level of advising, Todd is supposed to be registered with the state of Indiana, and he isn't. Of course, like I said, this story is brand new and the facts are still being sorted, but at the end of the day, all three of these stories I shared today are cautionary tales, and like WTHR shares, quote, should remind all consumers to be cautious and vet investors and financial planners to ensure your money is going where it is supposed to, end quote. They also further shared a super helpful resource, guys. It's on a website called FINRA. It stands for Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. And there's something on there called Broker Check. I linked the website in the source links for this episode. You can also simply just Google FINRA, F-I-N-R-A, Broker Check. And it'll probably pop at the, you know, top of the search results. The WTHR article shared some brief comments from a gentleman by the name of Greg Wren, who is a CFP professional. So CFP is often called a certified financial planner. He's also a professor at the IU Kelley School of Business. Now, regarding the Broker Check website, he said, quote, "It's free. It takes seconds to do. Really easy to verify if somebody is actually who they say they are. And if their name's not there, they don't have a legal obligation to be a fiduciary. So verify, 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 especially when it comes to your money," end quote. I could not say it better myself. And I could not say that, you know, better myself for all the professionals in our lives. The attorneys in our lives too. The accountants, all of the professionals. Remember what I said earlier? There are unfortunately bad eggs in every single profession. And that's not me being pessimistic or glass half empty, because let's be real, I'm a very cheery, happy, glass half full kind of person. That is me just being realistic. And on that, if any of you Legal Tea listeners want some helpful resources to help vet the professionals in your lives, feel free to reach out to me, legaltea podcast at gmail.com. I would be more than happy to help. That's exactly why I spend time doing this podcast, guys, to give you guys good and factual information and make sure it's out there, with the hope and desire that this information helps at least one person make a better or the best decision for them. I literally make $0 off this podcast. That's why you don't hear commercials or sponsors. I make $0. It is just me. It's just simply a way I can give you all like a peek into my brain, things I've seen, things I've heard, things I want you to be aware of. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now, my friends. Time is up. I hope this was an interesting episode for you. I hope it was helpful too. Let's shift to a sneak peek of next week, which we are circling back to the current trends topic, where we talk about things that are currently going on that, you know, impact my estate and elder law world. Or maybe they're just things I've stumbled upon on the news or social media that's relevant. Next week, we're going to talk about something going on with our friend Jay Leno and his wife. I actually stumbled upon some articles discussing Jay actively seeking guardianship over his wife. She suffers from Alzheimer's. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about what's going on, what's causing the guardianship, and why this is different than, say, like Britney Spears' guardianship that was all over the news, you know, for the last, I don't even know how many years. So we will talk about that next Tuesday, Legal Tea listeners. I'll talk to you then. Take care and be well.